Testing, testing, 1, 2. Testing. 1, 2. Good evening, everyone. Let's go ahead and get started with our lesson. I kind of feel like last week I was cut short. It's good to see you here. Seems to be a pretty nice crowd this evening. We will continue with the book of Ephesians. If you open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2, and there's a couple verses. Remember what, there's a couple verses that I'd like to talk about, and then we'll go to what the lesson is about. Do you remember what the title of the lesson was? And we started this last week. I'm sorry? Okay, the question was, can we fall from the grace of God? Can we fall from grace is the question. And it's possible. And I don't, in this lesson, I don't mean to be negative about it. But we see that every time we read about this, God always tells us what Christ has done for us, the grace that God has for us, that He's given His Son so that we can continue to be faithful and not fall. And so I'd also like to say this before we go into our lesson, that I think that this topic, this title, touches everybody's life, whether it be a son, mother, father, brother, sister, neighbor that has fallen away, a good brother in Christ. How many of us know of someone that was faithful and has fallen away? So, you know, it's a serious thought about falling from grace, and it is possible. And I remember a brother growing up. He was a great teacher. You know, he was a faithful brother in Christ. And I say this because Scripture always talks about do not get involved with the world and everything that's in it, because it can take us away from God. And so this brother that I'm talking about, they had a tragedy in their life. One of their sons passed away. He died in a car accident. And ever since that son died, I saw him, you know, kind of losing that faith. Losing that faith in God, because perhaps, you know, why did his son had to die, you know? But I'm just saying this because a lot of things can happen in our lives that may trigger, you know, a thought and say, okay, well, what am I doing here? Why should I continue to be faithful to God? But the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, James, and Scripture always, they don't try to keep us from reaching our goal. What they're trying to do is encourage us to be faithful, to reach what? To reach that goal of eternity with God. And so if you've opened your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2, I'd like to talk a little bit about verses 8 and 9, and then we'll go into the book of Hebrews. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So how are we saved, according to verse 8? How is Paul telling the Ephesians that they're saved by grace? I'm sorry? Okay. Faith, baptism, obedience, And we have to see what Paul says here. It is by grace. But what he means to say that it's by grace is because God, and we read scripture that says that God is not willing that any should perish, but what? That all should come to repentance. Now, when God has done this and given us the opportunity to repent, because sin is what separates us from God, God has sent his son to die on the cross for your sins and my sins. That's the love that God has for us. That's God's grace. But it is through faith, because he says here in verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith. So you don't only have to believe, hey, yeah, God has grace for me. God loves me, and that's it. But there has to be, what, action on our part. There has to be that faith, that obedience, that belief in Jesus Christ to be in that grace that God has prepared for us, that he's giving us through his son. Because, and I say that because a lot of people think, well, there's nothing I can do, which is true. There's nothing I can do to be saved. I can't save myself. You can't save yourself. This is what the Apostle Paul says in verse 9. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. And so it is by grace through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. What does Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 say? Can someone read that for us? I'm going to put this in my mouth. My mouth is getting dry, and I think I'll run out of voice by the end of class. Okay, so the wages, was that Romans chapter 6, verse 23? The wages of sin is what? Is death. So what do we deserve? We deserve death. But the gift of God is what? Is eternal life. There is God's grace. There is God's love for us. And it is not of your works. I've also have... turn the page here. If we turn over to Acts chapter 4, verse 12, and if someone would read that for us. Okay, so if the Apostle Paul is telling us in Ephesians, if he's telling the Ephesians, it is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So what Peter is saying here in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, what does he say? That there's neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So who else can we find to give us salvation? Who else can we find to give us eternal life? Who else can we find to forgive us of our sins? See, and this is again what I was saying earlier. This is what the Apostle Paul is doing. He's encouraging us to keep ourselves faithful to God. Is it an easy task? No, it's a daily struggle. We struggle with it every day. But it's not impossible. God has given us every tool that we need to overcome sin, to reach eternity. So verse 9 says, It is not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. So we see God's love here, God's grace, that it was ordained what? Beforehand. Turn over one page to the first chapter of Ephesians, chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. And he says the same thing here in verse, beginning with verse 3. What God has done for us, how he's shown us his love, how he's blessed us in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. So this was God's plan before the foundation of the world, that he would give salvation to mankind through Jesus Christ. That's what God has done for you. That's what God has done for me. And that's what God has done for anyone that's willing to repent of their sins and obey the gospel. He says that he has blessed us in all heavenly places, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, he having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. And so this is what God has done. A lot of us, or not us, but a lot of people out there think that there's nothing that we can't work out our own salvation. And they think that, you know, all we have to do is just believe in Jesus Christ. Because there's nothing that we can do personally. But again, we have to obey the gospel, take the necessary steps for salvation. And the last verse that I'd like to read as far as Ephesians chapter 2. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I'd like for us to read verses 8 and 9. So we see here again how the Apostle Paul encouraging Timothy. Like I said, you know, he encourages, he gives him words of encouragement beforehand, you know, to keep faithful, to stay faithful to God. And he reminds him what God has done for him. Verse 9 is the one that I wanted to kind of focus on, that talking about God who has saved us and called us with the holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own works or purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So we see here what we read in Ephesians chapter 1 about predestination, that beforehand, before this world was created, that God's plan was to save mankind. And so we see here, going back to Ephesians chapter 2, we see here God's grace, God's love towards you, towards me, and how he has done everything that we need for salvation. Now, let's get into the question. Is it possible to fall from grace? And we've said that the answer is yes. Okay? So, let's begin with Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews has several verses in several chapters that I want to talk about, but I'd like to begin with Hebrews chapter 10, because it seems to me like the writer of Hebrews, it sounds kind of harsh how the writer of Hebrew compares the law of Moses to God's law for those that are disobeying willingly before God. And he talks about the punishment that was given to them for disobeying God. And so he compares their disobedience and their punishment to those of us that fall from grace and are sinning willfully. Now, what does the word willfully mean? What do we understand by the word willfully? Willfully. Okay, knowingly, we know that it's wrong, but we still do it. There's a lot of things I think that we, you know, as individuals know that something is wrong, but what? We still go ahead and do it, right? You know, simple things. I always think about, and that's because recently, AJ and now Gabby have, they were speeding, so they got a speeding ticket. So, but they're not the example of the class. But this is what the point that I'd like to make. We know that speeding is wrong, don't we? But we still speed. We need to keep up with what the speed limit sign says. But yet, we tend not to see that sign. You know, we want to get to where we're going fast. And so, here, what the writer of Hebrews is telling us, and again, he's comparing, you know, for those of us that have already obeyed the gospel, for those of us that already have the truth, you know, to willingly disobey God and the punishment that comes because of our disobedience. Now, let me ask this, because it's going to come up in these verses. What do you think the punishment for speeding, what do you think the punishment should be? I don't know what you meant. I understand the concept. I understand the concept of, you know, but, you know, this is what I'm trying to say, that is we're disobeying, whether it be a small, you know, sin or a bigger sin. It's still disobedience. And we'll see here in Hebrews chapter 10, Let's begin with verse 22. What their punishment was, and well, I'd like to see what the law of Moses, what the punishment was back then, and what our punishment is for sinning willfully after we have obeyed the gospel. Okay, let's begin with Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. He says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. So again, God, the writer of Hebrews is encouraging us to be faithful before God. He doesn't want us to fail. He doesn't want us to sin willfully. But he says, you know, we need to hold fast and in Jesus Christ. What is our profession? What is the profession that we need to keep without wavering? What is that profession? You know, those of us that work, each one has a profession. You know, whether it be a teacher, you know, okay. Our profession is to spread the gospel. And with what you're saying, Brother John, Pat Andrews would always say this, that we need to keep the saved and save the lost. That covers everyone. But what is our profession? When we obey the gospel, I heard it over here. I just don't know who said it. Christians. That is our professions. When we have obeyed the gospel, we become Christians. And that's the profession that we need to keep in faith. And he says, without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. And let us, and verse 23, I kind of feel like he's talking to us as individuals, but verse 24 is talking about us as a group, because he says here, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And so it's not only keeping myself saved and faithful before God, but he's telling me to do what? To encourage who? To encourage you. And you need to encourage the one sitting next to you to be faithful. And I think that this is what the word, when I hear the word provoke, you know, it, I think I've done it sometimes, you know, when I know if I'm among friends, you know, I'll provoke one, you know, to get to the other one. I just like to do that. But we see here that the provoke that the writer of Hebrews here is using is provoke him to what? To love, to obedience. So you're not provoking him to anger, but you're provoking him to continue to be faithful, to encourage. And so it's not only myself, but we need to be doing that with our brethren, with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's jump over to verse 26. And this is where I think it starts getting pretty good. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, so he's talking about who? About Christians, about those of us that have already obeyed the gospel, have already known the truth, about those of us that should know better. He says, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for judgment and fury indignation which shall devour the adversaries. And so we see here, going back to verse 26, he's talking about, for those of us that fall away knowingly, what we are doing. He says that there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. If you turn over to Romans, I believe it's chapter 12. The Apostle Paul here talks about that sacrifice. Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, what? A living sacrifice. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, that we should present it holy and present it acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So when we disobey God willingly, there is no more sacrifice, because here Paul in Romans is telling us that this is what we need to do daily. This is what we need to do constantly, is to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Now, your sacrifices may not be my sacrifices, or your weaknesses may not be my weaknesses. But it is a sacrifice to keep from doing that or disobeying God. And so we need to present our bodies, and it's always a sacrifice, knowing and remembering what God has done for us. That he wants us to reach our goal of eternity with God. And verse 2, and this is what we were saying earlier, chapter 12, and it seems to always be the case. Because there's also some verses in scripture that, other scripture that talk about this. This is what kind of throws us off the path. Verse 2. What does verse 2 say? Would somebody like to read that for us? So he tells us what? Do not be conformed to this world. Because it's easy enough, isn't it? And I'm sure that we all understand. We understand this verse. That the world and the things in this world can throw us off course. And it will. It will throw us off course. But, you know, again, what we read in Hebrews, that that we need to hold fast and not waver and help each other consider one another, is what helps us get back on the right path. Now, another question that comes up, that comes to mind is, so if a person falls from grace, is it impossible for him to return? No, it's not. What has to take place? Repentance has to take place. We need to repent, because I've always heard this, that because when there's, while there's life, there's opportunity of salvation. And so we see here that the main problem is when we go back into the world. And that's why the Apostle Paul here in Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but we need to be what? Transformed. Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So let's go back to Hebrews chapter 10. And so for those of us that sin willfully, what is expected of us, or what is our punishment for disobedience? Verse 27, it is a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversary. Turn over to Numbers, the book of Numbers, chapter 15, verse 30. Numbers chapter 15, verse 30. Verses 30 and 31. He says, but the soul that doeth aught presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproacheth the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from among his people, because he has despised the word of the Lord and hath broken his commandment. That soul shall utterly be cut off. His iniquity shall be upon him. So we see here what it says, and I believe that the word presumptuously also means knowingly. Am I right, Brother Phil? Knowingly, wittingly, the soul that doeth aught presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproaches the Lord, and it's because he has despised the word of the Lord. And so what we, going back to Hebrews, what do we do when we willingly disobey God's word? We despise the word of God. Back to Hebrews chapter 10. He that despises Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. And so he's starting to compare, the writer of Hebrews is going to compare here what the punishment was for disobeying the law of Moses. And there's a good example in Deuteronomy chapter 17. And I think after this we will end with this verse. Deuteronomy chapter 17, beginning with verse 2. And again, it seems kind of harsh, because what this man is doing, and if it's the one that I read earlier, he was punished for picking up sticks. I mean, what do you think the punishment should be? And this is why I asked the question, you know, what do you think the punishment should be for speeding? Should it be death? The crime does not fit the crime. This man was picking up sticks. It's disobedience. So let's read that, and we said it was Deuteronomy chapter 17, beginning with verse 2. Now, this is what he says. If there be found among you within any of thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, man or woman that has wrought wickedness in the sight of the Lord thy God in transgression his covenant, in transgressing his covenant, and has gone and served other gods and worshipped them, either the sun or moon or any of the host of heaven, which I have not commanded, and it be told thee, and thou hast heard of it, and inquire diligently, and behold, it be true, and the thing certain that such abomination is wrought in Israel. This is not the one that I was talking about earlier, but this has the same thought in mind. For disobeying God, and if it be told thee, and has heard of it, and inquired, and behold, it be true, and the thing certain that such abomination is wrought in Israel, then shalt thou bring forth that man or that woman which have committed that wicked thing unto thy gates, even that man or that woman, and shall be stoned them with stones till they die. So what was the punishment for their disobedience to God? Death. And so we'll end with this question. What do you think the punishment should be for those of us that disobey God, for those of us that have already obeyed the gospel and sin willfully? What should be the punishment? And he compares it to the Old Testament. And it seems kind of harsh, doesn't it? That they're stoned to death. But what God is trying to teach them is to get sin from among them. Get sin out of the camp. Keep sin away. And so we see here, and I'll look for, and I know I've got it written down here in my notes, the one that was out, the one that I was mentioning about I'm sorry? So what does God want to keep them from doing? What we say the word presumptuously means? To stop sinning willfully, knowingly, before God. And again, God has given us, we've seen God's grace for us. That should be sufficient to keep us encouraged, to keep us faithful before God. And there's a lot more verses that I've got prepared for us to read that I think also there's a lot of examples in the Bible that talk about falling from God's grace. Is there another scripture that anyone would like to bring up? Brother Obed.
Should
you very much. And he was talking about what we read in Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. You know, that that we sacrifice. Jesus isn't going to come and die because we have sinned again. Jesus isn't going to come back. God's not going to send him back and say, okay, I want you to die for him again. No, God has already shown us through his grace. And Jesus, and we read in Ephesians chapter 1 that we are blessed in heavenly places. You know, and God has predestinated this since the beginning, since before the world was created. That God was going to do this for us. And so we'll end our lesson here this evening. We'll continue with the book of Hebrews chapter 10. If you'd like, please read Hebrews chapter 12, because it also has a lot of interesting thoughts. And we're also going to read Hebrews chapter 2 and Hebrews chapter 4. So if you'd like, beat me to the punch, be a step ahead of the class, read these chapters. We're also going to go into the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians has something to say about this. So thank you very much for your attention. Thank you very much for your comments. Yes, ma'am. And that's happened to me too. I mean, don't think that I'm just because I'm up here. I haven't gotten a speeding ticket. Yes, you know, Brother John. And we've seen that lots of times. People say, well, you know, if God just gives me just a little bit more time, you know, wait till the end. And I mean, God gave you all this time, you know, to be obedient. And yet we want to wait till the end to be obedient. You know, sometimes it doesn't happen. I'm sorry? Well, personally, no. So let's go ahead and end our class with a prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love that you have for us. We ask you to bless us, Father, individually, bless us as your church, Father. Help us to do your will, Father. Give us the strength, the courage to be faithful in our lives. Thank you once again for sending your son. Be with those that were mentioned tonight, those that are in need of your help, Father. Be with us and forgive us when we fail thee. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.